Well, the Lord has not allowed me to stray from this topic. I've been on it for, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks now. Kind of shifted more into this direction with it, but the theme has been coming out and entering in. When God delivers us out of Egypt and out of bondage by the blood of the Lamb, He brings us into a place where we are to grow and learn to know His voice. And He equips and prepares us with the end desire that we will be ready when we reach the border of the land, that we will be able to then, by faith, go in and take what God promised to us, to defeat the giants. And we all have different giants that we're faced with, but the biggest giants that we face are the giants of sin. God gets upset when we do not trust Him or believe that He has the ability or the power to not only forgive sins, but to break the power of those sins. Amen? God wants us free from the power, the bondage of sin. So He has provided freely to all of us everything that we have need of, everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything we have need of is in Him, in Christ. So today, I want you to turn with me. We're going to look at this again as a foundation, but Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, today I pray in Jesus' name that You would grant me utterance, Lord, that we will hear from You today, Lord. Set me aside. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter." That word Peter is Petros, little rock. "And on this rock, Petra, I will build My church." That's big rock foundation. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Amen? Amen. On that truth, I will build My church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Or the councils of wickedness. They would meet in the gates of the cities, the councils. And here He's talking about the councils of hell that are bent at our destruction. But Jesus said that I will build My church. And if Jesus says I will build My church, He will have a church. No devil in hell is going to stop Jesus from building His church. This is the first time Jesus spoke of the church. Now, let me ask you this. Does that mean that we kind of sit around and just wait on Jesus to build His church? No. Jesus is in heaven. He sent His Spirit. Amen? He is indwelling every believer, and we have connection now to the head, who is Jesus, and we are the ones who He will use on the earth to accomplish His purposes, to build His church. Now, what's very important for us to remember is that in our own wisdom, in our own cleverness, in our own willpower, we cannot build God's church. And yet, that is exactly what happens too often, is that we come up with some marketing strategy or some idea about, oh, if we just do this, this, and this, and this, then according to the latest poll, we'll have a crowd. Yeah, you may have a crowd, but do you have a church? And, you know, the Lord has even, I've gone to seminars, I've listened to teaching and things about church growth. And, you know, often I'll just walk away kind of like troubled by it because I'm like, but where is Christ in this equation? Are you just trying to draw a crowd so you can have this big thing and show off and say, look how great we are? Look what we have done? Are we drawing people to Jesus? Are we pointing them to Him? And this is something that no matter what we do, no matter how much, quote, success we may have even here, as we move on, as we go forward, and as we're growing, it's not about us ever. It's not about you anymore. So we have to examine our motivations and ask the question, why do I do what I do? Am I doing it for self or am I doing it for Him? And in order to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to be selfless. So, no, Jesus is going to build His church by the Holy Spirit through you and I who are yielded vessels. Now, the church that Jesus builds, it's very clear in this passage, will not be overcome by the powers of darkness. If we are the planting of the Lord, if we are His body, then we will not be overcome by the powers of darkness. If our lives are built on the foundation, Jesus Christ, His Word, then we will stand. If we are in Him, if we are clothed in Him, then we will stand. Satan's goal is to bring every one of us down into spiritual darkness. It doesn't matter how well we're doing today. How many know that people can come, they can get all excited about God and walk out that door and hit the bottom real quick? And the reason for that, folks, is pride often. Because we expect that in ourselves, or we think that in ourselves, we have what it takes because we're just so spiritual. Come on. Or that I'm just so strong. Whenever I start to think that I'm strong, I'm actually getting weak. The more that I trust in my ability, the less grace that I have. And very quickly, that house of cards can come down. But it's God's mercy to allow us to fail over and over again. So we will learn not to trust in our own ability, but in His. So I repeat a lot of these things because, folks, this is something we really need to understand. It's really a very basic truth, but so many in the body have been trying to add things to their lives but have not understood the way of the cross. And it is the way of the cross that is the way of life. I have to be crucified. My soul life has to be crucified with Christ. I have to be out of His way. Now, whenever we talk this way, and even when Jesus spoke this way, many people didn't want to follow Him anymore because they loved their life. They loved their lifestyle. They loved the way things were, and I didn't want to have to give anything up to follow Him. I have discovered something. That whenever God tells me to get rid of something or to give something up, I'm always glad I did. Oh, you'll never regret listening to His voice. So if Satan's going to use anything to deceive and draw us away from God, he's going to use money, music, television, sports, gambling, drugs, pornography, occult books and movies. Even religion, folks, to seduce people away from God. Whenever we get into the thing that we do and not the person, we're getting into a religious spirit, a performance of this thing that we do, and it's no longer about a relationship. We have been brought together in a body, and we are to have fellowship. Relationship together. Amen? Amen? We're members of that same body of Christ. He is the head. Yeah. Fellowship is important. Folks, you want to know why it's so important? Because Jesus said that whenever two or three gather together in my name, I am there in your midst. And the church that Jesus is building is the church that has him in the midst of her. God didn't call us to be islands, but he called us to come together and to gather together as a habitation of God in the Spirit. And I say it so many times, but those who are committed to fellowship with other believers always do better. So Satan is trying to defile God's people by, you know, setting things before us that are attractive but are not good. And sometimes even by setting good things before us that are not right things. Now, you can fill in those blanks. What is the good thing that can become a bad thing or the wrong thing for me? A thing that would be called a weight in the Bible, something that's weighing you down and a distraction to you in fulfilling your destiny, your purpose for which you were created. Anything that we put before God becomes an idol, doesn't it? That's why, hey, I'm all for, you know, giving praise to your favorite ball team. But folks, how many know that Jesus deserves your best praise? Come on. He wants to get us interested in evil things. And often, folks, they're masked in pretty packages. I don't know if you've ever taken a quick gander at some of the children's cartoons that are out today. It is unbelievable how bad they are today and how far into the occult they've gone with all this. And they're all dressed up in pretty packages. But you know what else the devil's been doing? He's been desensitizing our children by making ugly things at one time we're like, that's ugly, to make it now a cute thing. So that they will be open to receive something that is demonic. As if it's a friend. Dressed up, sometimes in pretty packages, beautiful unicorns. I don't have time to go into it all today, but folks, in the New Age, which is occult, which is satanic worship, with a pretty package, the unicorn represents their Christ, which would be the Antichrist. There's just so many things. Yoga is another thing. Oh, we just do it for exercise. Well, do you realize that every one of those exercises has spiritual significance in Hinduism? It's actually Hinduism. And you see, Jesus said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's not that we intend to do things that he disapproves of, is that we don't know any better. And because we don't know, we get into trouble. Fairies. Fairies are actually symbols of demon spirits. They represent demon spirits. People that are into Satanism will tell you that. People that are deep into it, they understand. They're not these cute little things with wings that fly around, folks. They're. But we've all been, I've grown up with fairy tales, so have you, you know. I've used this illustration a lot. The Wizard of Oz, you know, when we were kids, every year I had to watch The Wizard of Oz. How many watch The Wizard of Oz every year? And, you know? And I bet you can sing most of the songs in there, right? I mean, just by memory. But, you know, it never dawned on me until the Lord kind of turned the light on one day that there's no such thing as a good witch of the North. A witch is a witch. Didn't matter what you dress in. If you're not bowing your knee to Yahweh, to the living God... Amen? What God wants for his people is for us to build our immunity. If you take care of your body and you feed yourself properly and you exercise, chances are you're going to live a healthier life. Okay, you know where I'm going with this already. And, you know, if we feed our spirit the right things, we're going to have a healthy spiritual life. But what Satan wants to do is he wants to break down your immune system by exposing you to contaminants. Not all at one time. You don't swallow the pill all at one time. He gives you little bits of it, little bits at a time. And he worms his way in through little acts of compromise. And every time we compromise, your spiritual immune system becomes weaker and you become more susceptible to the attacks and actually of being defeated eventually by the devil. And there are people who at one time were on fire for Jesus who are now completely washed out. They have been shipwrecked in their faith today. And so it doesn't matter how long we've been a believer, we need to guard ourselves against unbelief. God has given us His Word. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And He's given us one another. He's given us the fellowship of the saints. Now, you know as well as I do that you wouldn't allow your child to go into a place where you knew there was disease. Not if you're a good parent. No. Don't go there. You'll get sick. Don't touch the dirty thing. Make sure you wash your hands if you've been in that place. God the Father loves His children so much that He doesn't want us to go into places in our minds, in our thoughts, and obviously with our deeds, right? Where we're going to defile ourselves or expose ourselves to spiritual contaminants that will eventually break down your immune and cause you to be an open target to the demonic. So if I am confident in myself, I'm actually weak spiritually. Oh, yes. The world says self-esteem, self-confidence, self-this, self-that. Jesus Christ shows up and He says, deny yourself. And what He means by self is suke, soul life. Deny that part of you. If you're going to follow Me, if you want to have My ability, if you want to overcome, if you want to be able to accomplish My Father's will, then you're going to have to deny yourself. Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. Believe me, you want to do that. Oh, yes, you want to deny yourself. Trust me, we are our own worst enemies. This is the problem. We try by an act of the self-will to live for God, and it doesn't work. Our will is to be submitted to His. But in my own ability, I don't have the strength to do what God calls me to do, to be holy. And when I'm full of myself, I'm actually full of pride. And when I'm prideful, I don't see the need for prayer. I don't see the need for the Word. I don't see the need for fellowship because I'm doing pretty good. In your soul, you are. For a moment. Because when you think you stand, you fall, you know. And so the way of the cross is the way of life. It means that it's no longer I, but Christ. I have to deny myself daily to take up my cross to follow Jesus, to do the will of God. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst of them." Can I suggest to you today that there are many people around this world, even around in this, certainly in this country, that are gathering together on this very day in church buildings that are not really gathering in His name. They're gathering really in their own name. And they have their own program and their own plan and their own way. And we like to do it this way and we like to do it that way. And we're going to grow the church according to the latest statistic. What is going to draw a crowd? You see, when you start talking about the reality of this, that there is a cross to bear, there is a price to pay to be a follower of Jesus, people don't want to hear that, so they will find, and there's all kinds of options, you know. I go, well, that's all right, I'll just go over here, and I'll sit there, I'll feel so good. But folks, you may be feeling good now, but the day is coming when you're going to see Jesus. I don't want to be deceived. And sometimes we deceive ourselves. What does it mean to be gathered in His name? Matthew 1:21 says that the virgin will bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. What does it mean to gather in His name? It means to gather in the name of the same Jesus who was speaking. The same Jesus of the Bible. The Mormons have a Jesus. Jehovah Witnesses have a Jesus. Amen? There are so many different Jesuses being presented even in charismatic churches today. Mainline churches. Well, to me, Jesus is going to be like this because I kind of like my Jesus to be like this. You know what that's called in the Bible? Idolatry, right? Or spiritual adultery. I don't want to be deceived. I want to follow the real Jesus. And I want to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? The true gospel of Jesus. Because it's only the truth that sets you free from the power of sin. God not only brought us out of Egypt, but He brought us out to bring us in to His promise so we can have rest from our enemies. So we're not bound by the power of sin. We're not continually in this cycle of addiction. God says, I want you free indeed. And the reason why God was upset with Israel again is because they did not believe that God was big enough to do what He said He would do. They did not believe that God, even after all the miracles and how they tested Him 10 times in the wilderness, all the things He did, they still did not believe that God could do what He said He could do when they got up to the place where they were confronting now the giants. And by that time, they should have been equipped. They should have been prepared. They should have learned His voice so that they could know, as God has been with us, He will also be with us here. And with God, we can do all things. And it upsets God when we don't believe that what He promised is freely given. And we have to just go and take what He's given us freely. You want freedom? It's yours. It's yours by faith. I believe Jesus Christ has overcome all the works of the enemy. I believe He has spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness, that He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and He has all authority. And He has the name above every name, that in His name, in His authority, I can defeat every giant that faces me. Well, you just don't know how bad my addiction is. It's unbelief. You need to shift out of focusing on that and put your eyes upon how big God is. And you'll see that that thing will shrink. It'll lose its power. When we are trusting fully in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and not in my ability to overcome anything. I couldn't overcome anything. I tried. I tried and failed, tried and failed, tried and failed, until God broke me and said, that's the reason why, is because you're trying to do what only I can do. The reason why, folks, we should be at the altar, the reason why we should be praying and crying out to God, is because there are giants that God wants you to tackle, and you can't do it in your own strength. And if we don't think we need to pray, we are already deceived, because it's not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is going to be by His Spirit that we can walk in a freedom and in a liberty and in a joy in the Holy Spirit. And I'm not walking around with guilt and shame and condemnation. Why? Because Jesus Christ has set me free. Come on. And it is available for you. That freedom is for you. By faith, receive the promise of God. Jesus. The Jesus that we're talking about today is the Jesus who will save His people from their sin. Oh, you know, you can go to many circles today, folks, and now they just go around talking about how bad of a sinner I am, but thank God for His grace. The grace of God is to liberate you from the power of sin so you can walk in freedom. Not in perfection, but in freedom. And if you mess up, thank God you have an advocate with the Father. You can come to Jesus and confess. You don't have to run away from Him. Run to Him. He loves you. And He wants you to enter into His rest. Oh, hallelujah. There is a rest for the people of God. It's a promise to us. You remember when Jesus prayed in the garden, Matthew 26:41, He said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I want to say this again, folks. When we are strong in ourself, then we are weak spiritually. When I am strong in myself, then I am a victim of sin and not a victor over it. When I am weak in myself and then strong in the Lord, I have life and peace in the Spirit. That's why we must praise Him. We must worship Him. We must draw from His grace. Because His grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. When you're really receiving God's grace, you realize that these things are detestable to the Lord, and I don't want to do anything to grieve my Lord. Because I love Jesus. That's why He said, "If you love me, you'll obey my commandments." You see, many are going to listen to message after message and for a moment be emotionally stirred and say, "That was a good word." But then walk out and nothing changes. Jesus said, unless you repent, you're going to perish. Unless you determine to make up your mind that you're done with sin. You see, we're not ready for Jesus until we're done with sin. You're not ready for Him until you're done with you. Lordship is what He is to be Lord over our lives. That means in all my ways, I am acknowledging Him and I'm saying, "Lord, is this okay? What do you think about this? Lord, can I stay home today? Can I watch the Super Bowl instead of go to church today?" Now be careful, because you probably won't ask that question, right? But for Him to be Lord means that He decides. Our Lord Jesus hung on that cross. He died a brutal, horrible death for you and for me. He laid it all down for us, folks, so that He could have a people who would be with Him forever. That He would have a bride, that He would have a people who loved Him, who had received Him and were willing to walk with Him in purity as they look forward and in anticipation to the day their bridegroom, Jesus Christ, returns. I have to keep myself pure because I'm keeping myself pure for my Lord. Amen? Not only that, but I'm keeping myself pure for you because we're members of one another. We're members of the same body. You know, folks, if you get an infection in your hand, you know, and you don't deal with it and you allow it to go, eventually that can turn to gangrene and it can start to destroy. Amen. That hand, and it'll begin to creep up into your body and it will defile the whole body and possibly kill you. So it is with sin. We have to have a severe stance against it because it is not God's way. It is the way of the devil. And so therefore, if your hand offends you, cut it off. It's better for you to go into life maimed than to go complete, if you will, into hell. Jesus said that. He paid a high price for us. He deserves that we offer our bodies now back to Him. Say, Jesus, I've lived for myself. I've been motivated, driven by self-will and selfish ambition and living for me. What can I do for you now, Lord? Based upon all that you did for me, Romans 12, it's my reasonable service to offer my body back to you for the rest of my days to live for you, Lord. Amen. You deserve my worship. You deserve the fruit of my lips, giving thanks, giving praise to you. Greater praise than I'd give to a sports team. Folks, I want to say something because sometimes when I preach, you might get mad. But I'm going to preach what God tells me to say. Amen. Because I love you. And I fear God too. Amen? He's coming. And He says, I'm coming in an hour when you think not. Things are happening very quickly. Things are wrapping up, I believe. I believe we're in the last days, and we better get ready to meet Jesus. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. Was it Joplin, Missouri, that they went to bed one night, and that town was wiped out? How many went to bed thinking this is going to be it for me? But those are the days we're living in, folks. We don't know. And we don't want to be forever sorry because we chose the path of self-will over His will. And we can always make excuses. We can always deceive ourselves and say, oh, it's okay. God understands. Does He? He understands that you're in rebellion and you need to repent of it. I struggle with my flesh. My flesh wants to do one thing and the Spirit wants to do another thing. I have to make the determined choice that I am going to obey the Spirit of God. And I have to do it daily. Because, folks, in one day, everything can go south, as you know. We've got to understand that we must die to ourselves in order to live in the blessedness of the life He promises us. If you live according to your flesh, you will die, Romans 8:13. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What does it say? That you and I are to put to death the deeds, or the misdeeds in the King James, of the body. God brought Israel out with a mighty right hand, amen, out of bondage by the blood, brought them into a place of testing and of equipping and preparing. But they were then given the responsibility to go in and to take down the giants that stood in their way. It was their responsibility. It is our responsibility to put to death the misdeeds of our body, to cause our body to say, you will submit to the Spirit of God. And when I'm weak in myself, I can be strong in Him and have victory. But when I'm full of myself and I'm self-confident, I have very little strength to defeat any enemy. Folks, I want to encourage us to draw near to God, to pray, lest you enter into temptation. In the Amplified, it says this in Romans 8:13. If you just listen, give me a few more minutes, please. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. God is being patient. He is patiently waiting for the harvest. We should be about our Father's business. We should be telling people about Jesus. We should be inviting people, amen, to come to church. We should be encouraging one another, ministering to one another. Why? Because we're preparing. We're preparing for eternity. We're getting ready for our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, who is coming again. And he's coming again, not for a prostitute, but he's coming again for a virgin. One who has kept herself pure and said, I'm waiting for my master. I'm waiting for my bridegroom. And that's why you must put to deed the misdeeds of the body. You must submit yourself to God. And then when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, James 5:7, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. How many know that God is pouring out his Spirit as I speak? He's pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. Now is the time to receive of the nourishment of his Word and of his Spirit. Amen. So that we may be made beautiful and may be pure before him and ready for that day. And he said in verse 8, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Jesus is building his church. How do we overcome the forces of spiritual death? How do we defeat the forces of spiritual death? Are you ready for it? By dying to ourselves. Denying myself, utterly disowning my soul life that would rebel against God. Instead, making my life, myself, say, get under the authority of him. If God says this is the way, that's what we're going to do. Isn't it interesting that we have the ability to talk to ourselves and not be crazy? What did David say? He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Who is he talking to? He's talking to himself. You say, well, I don't like to just be verbal about my faith. Well, you need to tell your soul, open your mouth for God. David said, I will bless the Lord. I choose to bless the Lord. Listen to what the Amplified says here. Mark 8:35. For whoever wants to save his higher spiritual eternal life will lose it, the lower natural temporal life, which is lived only on earth. And whoever gives up his life, which is lived only on earth, for my sake and the gospel, will save it. What will he save? He will save his higher spiritual life in the eternal of God, eternal kingdom of God. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life in the eternal kingdom of God? For what can a man give as an exchange, a compensation, a ransom in return for his blessed life in the eternal kingdom of God? It's not worth it, is it? It's not worth compromising or sacrificing eternity for the temporal gratification. You see, a true disciple of Jesus dies daily. He's already dead to his soul life. He's already dead to his ways. Every day he takes up his cross. He denies his flesh and he yields to the Spirit. And the powers of darkness cannot touch the one who has died to themselves. When I'm weak in me and strong in him, the devil can't touch me. When I allow myself to be weak in him and strong in me, guess what? The devil beats me up. Come on, you know he's got a target on me just like he does on you. I've got to watch myself, and I have to tell my soul what to do by the Spirit and by the authority of God. Amen? Your soul says, oh, I want to watch that movie, or I want to take a second look at that hot chick that just walked by. You know, or that thing that shows up all of a sudden, it jumps out at you on the internet. And your soul is in a crossroads, and you're going to have to decide, I'm either going to choose life or death here. And the Spirit of God is saying, don't do it. And you've got to tell your soul, you're not going there. And the stronger we are spiritually, and the weaker we are in our soul life, the easier that becomes. It's like even the things that at one time were a temptation to me, I'm dead to it. This is the work of the cross in me, you see. It's an elimination. How many have discovered that? There were some addictions maybe that you had that now you're not even tempted by it anymore. Why? It's gone through the cross. You've died to it. But you had to be, initially, you had to make the decision that I'm not going to allow that giant anymore to tell me what to do. Instead, by the Spirit of God, I'm going to defeat it. By the grace of God. Is this making sense? If we're strong, then we're sinful. If we're strong in ourselves, we'll live sinful. If we're weak in ourselves and strong in God, we'll have victory. Because the enemy cannot touch you if you're dead to yourself. I'm going to say this again. I say it a lot, but for those of you who maybe not heard this before, but too often, folks, the body of Christ gets just all caught up in demons and the devil, and you know they're real, and you got to deal with them, right? If you're confronted with one. But you know, folks, the devil could not be beaten up on you if you just die to yourself. If you would put on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would clothe yourself in Him, if you would be a worshiper of God, amen, then He can't touch you. The reason why people are bound by the devil and he gets in their lives is because they're strong in themselves and they think that they're strong enough to do this thing without God. Do you want to be free today? Then you must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You must put on the full armor of God and you must deny your soul life that wants to do its own thing. You submit yourself to God, as we read in James this morning, and then resist the devil. Right? And what'll happen? What'll he do? He'll flee. It's the same message, isn't it? It's the same answer, Jesus, not me. It's no longer I, but Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And one more time, you cannot be full of Him if you're full of you. So if any man will come after me, let him deny himself daily. Take up his cross, what? And follow me. Thank you, Jesus.